We turn to the Word of God this morning. Our scripture reading is from Psalm 8. Psalm 8 this morning, page 848 in your pew Bible. And then our text will be verse 2 especially. Psalm 8, for the director of music, according to Giddith, a Psalm of David. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds together saying, "Thanks be to God." Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and of the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Then our text for this morning is verse 2. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to confess to you that I like Psalm 8. Actually, I enjoy singing Psalm 8. I always have. Back when I was a youngster in grade school at Calvin Christian School in Clinton, Ontario, we used to sing out of the old blue Psalter hymnal in our classroom. I think all the Christian schools used to sing out of that book way back when. Each class, we would spend time singing hymns and psalms from that old blue Psalter hymnal. The teachers would ask for favorites. And I clearly remember raising my hand. The teacher would say, "Yes, Ken, what would you like us to sing?" And I would answer, "I would like us to sing hymn number 13, Lord our Lord, thy glorious name." I chose it often. I chose it all the time. It was my all-time favorite in 1973. I still like Psalm 8. I read it often when I visit parents who have been blessed with a new baby. You'll understand why soon enough. Nathan and Kelsey, you were recently blessed with your baby, and so I'm honored to preach on this passage, this text today. Now, I won't preach on all of it. My plan is really to focus in on verse 2. That's my plan. Not going to work there for me, John. Verse 2. You know, Psalm 8, it begins by saying, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens." And now here's the text that follows. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. My plan for this morning is just to go through this text. We'll look at each line, each little part, until we have examined the whole thing. And from there, we'll see what implications this text has for our lives, especially in light of the New Testament age that we live in, the age of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's look at our text together then, shall we? Three different sections I want to look at. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Let's dig into the matter at hand. And so our text begins with the words, "From the lips of children and infants." Congregation, I want to suggest that this little line has become a familiar saying of sorts. It's a saying. You know, a youngster says something cute, something interesting or smart, and we say, "From the lips of children and infants," right? It's right up there with the line, "From the mouths of babes," which is what the King James version of the line says it, right? A kid says something really profound, and we respond, "From the mouths of babes." Or we say, "Kids say the darndest things," right? Maybe you recall how back in the 1990s, we used to have a whole TV show, a comedy series called Kids Say the Darndest Things. It was pretty funny. Kids can say the most unbelievable things. We all know examples of this. Here's mine. I recall this true story from friends that I know, where this family had to cross over the border into the States. And in order to cross over, circumstances were such that they really had to watch out what they say to the border officials. They get to the border, everything is okay, they cross over. And as soon as they drive away, little Sally in the back seat says, "Dad, I think we should pull over and have a word of prayer." And Dad says, "Why?" "Well, for two reasons," she said. "To thank God for getting us across the border, okay? And number two, to ask God to forgive you for lying." Kids say the darndest things. Or from the lips of children and infants. Yes, amazing what profound truths can come out of their mouths. My dad once told me of a time when our family first moved to Blythe, where I grew up. Things were tough in Blythe, so my dad tells me. So tough that after just arriving, my dad mentioned at the supper table to the family that things were not going well as expected, and maybe it was time that they pack up and go back to Brantford, where we came from. Apparently, my oldest sister, Kathy, who was 10 years old at the time, she said, "Dad, that's what the Israelites said after they left Egypt. We can't go back anymore. God has brought us here to Blythe, and we just need to move forward by faith." Kids say the darndest things. From the mouths of babes, from the lips of children and infants. As you know, we stayed in Blythe, and we were richly blessed. The point I want to make is, yes, when kids speak up, when they say something profound, well, then we take note, don't we? That's why it's a saying now. It's a slogan, from the lips of children and infants. Which leads me to the second part of our text. How does it go again? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Yes, I guess the idea is when our kids sing praises, it's like it's more noticeable, right? It's like it's more real in a sense. It's more profound, as if it speaks more truth. What they say is so honest, it's so clean, it is so clear. Yep, it's because of that. That's why God has ordained such praise. God has planned it. It's figured on. It's designed. It has been predestined. God's kingdom is built this way. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Actually, it might be good, it might be helpful to know what our text literally says in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, what it literally says is, from the lips of children and infants, you have designed a fortress. How do you like that? When kids sing, or even if they just speak about God, God designs something he builds. He designs something. He builds something that is really strong. He builds a fortress, a stronghold, a castle, fortified with an army. From the lips of children and infants, you have designed a fortress. Isn't that cool? Kids sing about God and ta-da, a mighty fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. This is fantastic. And now for what purpose has God designed all this? Well, that gets me to the third part of our text. From the lips of children and infants, you've ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. You caught that. Why did God ordain the praises of children? Not first of all to make us amazed or to make us awestruck, no, but is to fight against the kingdom of darkness. Listen up, it's to silence them. So you have to picture the scenario in your minds. In this world, God's people are threatened. God's church is persecuted. The kingdom of darkness is out to devour them. The prince of darkness wants to scream at her, to condemn her, accuse her, to frighten her. And so picture Satan standing over Christ's church, screaming at her, "You're nothing. You're weak. You are useless." But then our text says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Kids sing, and it's like Satan is awestruck. He's speechless all of a sudden. He doesn't know what to say. It's like his throat is stuck. Isn't that cool? Isn't that fantastic? Start singing, kids. Let's silence the foe and the avenger. Yes, this is how the church goes on the offensive. I think of Ephesians 6, where the Apostle Paul talks about the armor of God and the weapons of the Holy Spirit. What's our weapons again? It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and prayer. And so when our kids speak the word, when they sing the word, and when they pray the word, Satan just cowers right up. What strength! What a fortress we have! This is precisely why we include children in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's why we baptize them, make them members of the church. That's why we include them in worship for a time. That's why we teach them. The earlier they start to sing, the better. Our kids shut up the kingdom of darkness, or should I say, they shut down the kingdom of darkness. Thus our text, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And so we have an obligation then as a church community and as parents to teach our children, to teach our kids. We teach them at home. We teach them in Sunday school. We teach them in the Christian school. We teach them when we sit down, when we walk along the road, when we lie down and when we get up, right? Deuteronomy 6. We teach them. And what do we teach them? What do we tell them? Well, sure, we tell them the word of God. We teach them the commandments. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. We teach them ethics. What is right? What is wrong? But most importantly, we teach them the gospel. The gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, well, everything kind of comes together in him, right? He came to earth to die on the cross, to pay for our sin. Of course, everything comes together in Christ. We teach our children about Christ. And so when our children sing about Christ, that's a good thing. God has ordained it to silence the foe and the avenger. A word then about how our text from Psalm 8 points to Christ, points to Jesus. Actually, our text gets fulfilled in Jesus. Yes, it does. Allow me to talk about that for a moment. Matthew 21. What goes on in Matthew 21? In Matthew 21, Jesus is riding triumphantly into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. It's Palm Sunday. Maybe you recall the story. Jesus is riding on the foal of a donkey, and the children are running alongside of him. They're waving their palm branches and singing, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Maybe you recall the story. This is what the kids do as Jesus rides into Jerusalem. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they are not exactly impressed, to say the least. They say to Jesus, "Jesus, don't you hear what these children are saying?" And how does Jesus respond? He basically says, "Yes, I hear exactly what they are saying. And haven't you ever read, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise?" In short, have you not ever read Psalm 8? Are you not aware of these words? Jesus is saying that God has ordained it, God has planned it, God has predestined it, that God's covenant children will sing about Him. When God's children sing about Him, their praises silence the foe and the avenger. And so, congregation, there is nothing better. Our children have to sing about Jesus. They have to sing. Of course they do. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is our Savior. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Our kids, they especially need to sing because when they do, it's more noticeable. It's more profound. How does it go? From the mouths of babes, from the lips of children and infants. You know, the children in that Matthew 21 passage, they sing about Jesus on Palm Sunday. All of that is before Jesus' death and resurrection. We today live after Jesus' death and resurrection. And so we live in a day when our sin is gone. It's been conquered on the cross. We live in a day now when Jesus is on the throne. He has triumphantly entered into the new Jerusalem up above, which means we live now by the power of the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith. Praise His name. And so now today, children from all over the world are singing their praises. They're doing so on every continent. The children sing. And they do it here too. God has ordained it. It's a mighty thing. It's a fortress. The children sing, and we say, from the mouths of babes, from the lips of children. Nathan and Kelsey, may God richly bless you as you start teaching Isla, singing with Isla, praying with Isla. And keep your ears open. It's going to start sooner than you think. She's going to join Isaac and Carter and Charlotte to sing about God in Christ. It's been ordained. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank You for this text, and we thank You for our children who are also part of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Father, that they also sing, and that we may marvel at it, that when our children sing the gospel, and when they talk about Jesus, then it silences the kingdom of darkness. And all of this by Your word, because Your word is powerful. It is the sword of the Spirit. So we pray, Father, that we may join with our children to sing Your praises. And we pray to gracious God that we may stand amazed. May we be dumbfounded to know that our God saves simply by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So hear our prayer. Bless our homes. May all of our homes and this church and Your church around the world sing Your praises with Your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.